Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we celebrate the matchless, unsurpassed truth that God came. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. For our sake, Christ became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. Christ has died for us and so has destroyed the power of death. He has delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. He has set us free. He is risen. Today is the day Christ Jesus is risen. Today, let us rise and sing it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let us refresh our minds with that which we believe. May we pronounce the Apostles' Creed in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, thank you that you invite us to come boldly to talk to you and to call you Father. How gracious of you to come to us in Christ, to be one of us, to know us, to walk with us, to experience our pain and sin and death, and to give us a possibility for life. Thank you for defining life for us and for putting death in proper perspective. We praise you for your continual penetration and involvement in our lives. Thank you that your love is relentlessly tangible and available. Thank you that you pursue us with your forgiveness, that you are never willing to have us turn from you and perish. Thank you for your unceasing desire to have interaction with us, for your longing to give us expanse and depth and newness of life. We praise you that you understand our frame. We praise you for your forgiveness and your promise of a process of cleansing. Oh, cleanse us this day, our Father. Give us a fresh start by the power of Easter. And let the majesty and mystery of your resurrection power begin with us this moment. Let us be translated and changed by your presence in music and word. Let us worship you in awe and joy. Let none of us go from here the same. This day, move in our midst, Father, and transform us. We dare to ask you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. To God's word, his very own word to us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If you'd like to use the Bible in the rack before you, you'll find it in 1 Corinthians, or rather on page 1001. 1001, that will put us in 1 Corinthians 15, and we read beginning with the 12th verse. While you're finding that, now if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen.
Our bell choir will be ringing, and this is the clay human vessel that we as a group of fallible human beings have put together with all of the effort and talent that we can possibly muster. But we confess to you that It would be little more than clanging cymbal and tinkling bell if the Holy Spirit doesn't come here this hour. And that's our prayer, believing that God brought everyone here with a divine purpose of hearing Easter truth. We believe the risen Christ is here in our midst, and that he will energize our human efforts, and in this next hour, make these efforts God's word to you personally. And with that sense of anticipation, that we now listen to the ministry of the choir. Morning, we have come together, and we're here to celebrate the most significant moment in the history of the world, that almost unbelievable truth that Jesus Christ our Lord was resurrected by God from the dead. During his crucifixion and resurrection, we proclaim again today that Jesus Christ tasted death for you and for me, destroying the authority of the evil one to accuse us before God for our sin. That is the underlying truth of the gospel. The cross, then, is an eternal symbol that we treasure because it reminds us our Heavenly Father knows all about dying, not theoretically, but personally. The empty tomb symbolizes that our Father is not defeated by physical death. Our Savior has emerged victorious from his own grave. And now he reigns as the Lord of life, and we even believe he's here with us this morning. Easter is a time for us to immerse ourselves again in these precious certainties. Most of us know the story, but it becomes a dearer story every year as it's told and retold. Jesus is alive. Because he lives, we believe we will live also in time and eternity. Incredible. Easter hope points us to that day coming when we will personally meet this resurrected Christ and also will be reunited with those we love who've gone before. In our first service, someone I treasure was seated in the front row, and I saw that person crying in anticipation of being reunited with one she lost this last year who is at home with his Heavenly Father. But the Easter hope reminds us it's only for a while. Because Jesus lives, we will live. Listen to Scripture describe what is almost undescribable. And I pray the Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her own husband. And God himself will be with them. In these precious words, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And I'll add today, because of Easter. Now, all of these facts highlight our theme this morning. And we'll be looking at it from various aspects. The theme, death is swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up means to consume, to destroy completely. It's upon this rock of certainty that you and I have our anchor today. And the choir is going to tell you about it. when the Holy Spirit comes into an anthem or into a prayer, that you know there's something more than people up here. And that's what makes us give praise to God. There's a great verse in the New Testament. It reads, Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why is this news so dramatically important for us today? Why do we celebrate? As Peggy read at the beginning of the service, because the fear of physical death has been and still is public enemy number one. We try to run from it. We cover it over. We seek escape and every kind of narcotic. But occasionally it still dawns on us that one day we must die. On Tuesday morning, January 28th at 8:30 a.m., all of us watched in horror as the lives of seven astronauts were snuffed out in a millisecond. The whole nation went into mourning. But our tears were not only for the astronauts and their families, our tears were for ourselves. You see, our television screens, usually used to help us avoid the reality of death, displayed our vulnerability to dying in a way we could not avoid. In spite of technology and science, we knew again that as a human being, we are one heartbeat away from eternity at any given moment. I suggest our Easter hope as Christians is the only truth big enough to handle this almost unbearable reality of our mortal existence. Again, our theme, death, your death and mine, is swallowed up in victory. Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But some will say, Christians still die. Well, of course we do. Jesus died. Jesus did not abolish the act of physically dying. He abolished the power of physical death to destroy life, the power of the evil one to accuse us before a righteous God and hold us in death. Dying for the Christian is a journey home to heaven. Death's power, you see, is rooted in this biblical truth. The wages of sin is death. Consciously or unconsciously, every human being really knows that truth. But because Jesus tasted death for us, eternity no longer holds the terror of encountering a holy God on Judgment Day unprepared. Listen to Paul. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. We know if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God not made with hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. That's our Christian hope. This is what we mean when we say death is swallowed up in victory. Now, that hope doesn't remove all fear of the physical process of dying. Let me tell you, dying still holds a lot of terror for me. Whether we speak of dying suddenly, as the astronauts did, or slowly wasting away, it's something I'm not really wanting to do today. It's very scary. But as Christians, we know that on the other side of the valley of death, of the process of dying, is that glorious gift of eternal life. Reunion with our Lord and with those we love. So we're suggesting that once we dare believe that death has been abolished through Jesus, we are then free to live fully for the first time this earthly life God has given us without being in bondage to the fear of death and running from it and using our energies to try to wipe it out. No wonder then we rejoice this morning. Of course we celebrate. Death is swallowed up in victory. Many of us have laid aside loved ones this last year. There's very few things we human beings do that can be any more painful than standing beside someone we've held and loved for a lifetime, and there is only a lifeless form there now. And apart from Jesus, that would almost be an unbearable reality. because of him, death is swallowed up in victory. His work on the cross is a finished work, and it's a work that takes away the sins of the world and robs the evil one of his power to hold us in death. That's what we celebrate, and our choir will now minister to us about how it's totally finished.
Social Hall and say it's marvelous to have you here, particularly our visitors. And you might take those yellow cards and fill them out so we might know you a bit better and put them in the offering plate, as well as the orange cards if you have prayer requests, because that's exceptionally important as well. It's a very tight service today, so we're not going to have you stand up and meet five people, but I think you should turn to one and say Happy Easter right now. Let's do it.
Happy Easter.
All of you say it twice. That's all right. After the service, we're very keen to respond to how God touches you. So if you have a prayer request or like to recommit your life to Christ or commit your life for the first time, we're going to be in the garden court or the library. And just come on over for a few moments and have us get to know you. There'll be some pastors and elders there, and it's a marvelous time of dialogue. Please finish what God is doing in you this morning, and if there's a new work to begin, we want to help you complete it over there. Now, in terms of our tithes and offerings, I was thinking, as Walt talked about death, about the wealthy gentleman who died, and at the funeral, the town gossip kind of straddled up to the pastor and said, "How much did he leave?" And the pastor turned to the town gossip and said, "Everything." And I thought, that's true. Don't look so sour. It was really a funny joke.
But the point is that I think one of
the greatest things that the resurrection gives us power to do is to be fiscally and intelligently generous and to use our resources throughout our lifetime and not just save them up where we can't go. So as the ushers come forward, let us remember that many times the Lord of the Resurrection has the hardest time resurrecting our finances. But if we trust him, he can really make it a great life in renewing that area as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you that you'll use these gifts to make it Easter and possible all over the world. So we give to you that which is only yours to begin with. And may you take it and multiply it. May we be blessed and those through it. In your son's name, amen.
Was it a morning like this when the sun still hid from Jerusalem? And Mary rose from her bed to tend the Lord she thought was dead. Was it a morning like this when Mary walked down from Jerusalem and two angels stood by the tomb bearing the news she would hear soon? Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to bound, he is risen. Over and over, in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Was it a morning like this when Peter and John ran from Jerusalem? And as they raced toward the tomb, beneath their feet was there a tune. Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to bound, he is risen. Over and over, in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to bound, he is risen. Over and over, in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Vigil. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen. Just wanted to be sure you're still with me.
A
dream, death is swallowed up in victory by listening to these words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, then believe in also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and you, and you, that where I am, there you may be also. It's been said, the person is dead who in this life has no hope for another. But our limited senses want to ask how. How does dust remaining in a grave come back to life? How can resurrection from the dead happen? Paul the Apostle uses the analogy of a seed planted in a ground to help explain this mystery, although I'll tell you in advance, there is no full explanation for the miracle of either our physical life or of our resurrected life. It's something God does. But Paul says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Think about it. Our pathetic, weak, vulnerable body at life's end becomes like a seed. It's useless. In a sense, it has to be buried. But suddenly, at the cry of God's command, it sprouts to new life. Like the breath of life that initially came to us, resurrection power comes, and like a wrinkled, decaying seed that puts out a root and then a stalk and then suddenly breaks through the ground in a glorious burst of new life. The Bible says one day the dead in Christ come back to life. Peter Marshall tells a story that might help some of us understand this mystery of personal resurrection. He says, two caterpillars were talking together as they crawled along the earth. And one declared, you know, I imagine heaven will be like an endless row of cabbages. And his philosophical friend says, you know, I believe that someday you and I will no longer have to crawl around on the ground. Why, we might even fly over that fence. And what's more, we won't be puncturing cabbage leaves in order to eat. But someday we're going to be sipping dew and living on the honey of the flowers. And his philosophical friend in reply said, or skeptical friend, you poor demented creature, how foolish to be thinking about that which is supernatural. I'm interested only in the here and now and in that which I can taste and feel and smell. So I'm very content with living among the cabbages. Well, one day, both of the caterpillars died, and friends gathered around for the funeral service. And after a very long eulogy about their good lives, they were buried in a shroud, a chrysalis that slowly dried. And then one day, it began to break open. And out of it began to emerge a moist, lovely creature. And slowly it hoists into the fragrant air its delicate wings of beauty. And as the wings dry, they gather strength. And then both of the butterflies take off. And they become aware of their new life, their new world. And they sail over the fence to sip the dew and to taste the succulent honey. And the skeptical caterpillar, his eyes filled with amazement, said to his friend, how blind I was! I couldn't even imagine in my wildest dreams that anything could be better than my world among the cabbages. Now it looks like nothing down there compared to the beauty of our sailing here in the wind and enjoying life as butterflies. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, eye has not seen, neither has the human heart conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Many symbols of resurrection God created for us in nature. The butterfly is only one. You gardeners put bulbs in the ground every spring, and in a mystery only God knows about, whether they be tulips or something else, they push through the ground and out of that ugly bulb comes something infinitely gorgeous. We trim down our fruit trees until in December it almost looks like they're dead skeletons there in the cold wind. Then they soften and these last few weeks, can you believe the beauty of the blossoms and the leaves coming to new life out of death? Jesus gives us a very positive statement about the reality of resurrection. If God can do resurrection for plants and butterflies, what greater thing is he going to do for us, his children? At the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, Jesus made this amazing statement about resurrection. Now, the story is, if you remember, Lazarus had been 4 days dead. In fact, so dead, the sisters were concerned when Jesus said, hey, roll that tombstone back. He said, you can't because the body's already decaying. And Jesus says to Martha, who was grieving, your brother will rise again, meaning he's not dead. And then he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You see, Lazarus went through the act of physically dying, but his life wasn't destroyed. And for our sake, to prove it, for all ages, Jesus gave a cry of command, and the dead Lazarus came walking out alive, showing Jesus has the power to sustain life over death. I am the resurrection and the life, says he. That means death for the Christian is an incident, not an accident, a doorway. It's not extinction. Death is breaking out of the chrysalis of these mortal bodies that one day have to go. But we're buried into life, into the rich dimension of eternity. Death for the Christian is a commencement, a coronation, a consummation of all that we've been living for. This is the good news of Easter. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Jesus brought you here this morning so you could know that truth, so you could stake your life on it, and overcome our bondage to the fear of physically dying. We're skipping the next anthem and singing directly our hymn, and I want you to stand and proclaim it. This truth, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Let's stand and sing together.
Skip the next anthem?
We already did. We're here now. We've skipped the anthem. And you may be seated. One final question remains. And you know, we Christians have a bottom line to most of the things we do. We are so thrilled with what Jesus provided for us that we want everybody to have it. And I believe that desire is put into us by Christ himself, because it was his commission that we go into all the world and preach this good news. And so the question is, how does one discover Easter hope if in our heart of hearts we know we don't have it? You know, on any Easter morning, you know where you fit. You're here as either part of the family, or you've come as an observer to kind of see what's going on. And while you're here, I am certain that the Spirit puts a yearning into you of wanting to be more than a spectator, that you'd like to belong. Right now, I want to tell you how. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whoever," this is not an exclusive club, it's open to anybody, everybody, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The good news about God is that he does not want one person to perish, to face eternity without hope of resurrection. You aren't a special case, that your sin is so ugly and the things that you've done is so awful that you couldn't possibly deserve God's love. We all qualify for God's love in spite of our track record. Finding eternal life is not a factor of our deserving anything. It's a factor of our being willing to believe the good news that Jesus died to save sinners like me and you. And so this morning, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, membership in God's forever family, those are treasures that are free. Free for the taking, free for the believing. And here is how you do it, you who are struggling with faith. I can't give you anything very sophisticated. I can't give you something that's going to make you be good for your pride, something that'll sort of tie into the criteria of greatness in our culture. In fact, what I'm going to tell you now will appear foolish unless the Holy Spirit helps you see in it life. First, we become a Christian by believing Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who he claims to be, God. And that somehow, in a cosmic transaction we don't understand, he died for you and for me on his cross, for our sins. He did for us what we deserve to do in punishment for our sins. And then, in a miracle, he was resurrected from the dead. The difference between Jesus and us is if we were dead, we'd stay dead. He became dead, and then God raised him from the dead. The evil one couldn't hold him. That's the first step of what we believe. Secondly, you personally acknowledge that you need this Savior. Not the world, not your neighbor. You need this Savior. And you simply state to God, after you swallow your pride, "God, I can't make it to heaven without you and your grace. My track record, oh, it might be pretty good or it might be absolutely awful. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get there unless you give it to me as a free gift. And somehow that gospel makes sense. I'm going to take it today. It's mine." And then the last part is that you reach out and in faith you receive this divine forgiveness. You may not feel anything. Salvation isn't a matter of feelings. But in your heart, you can be sorry for your sins, and you can believe, and then you can state your desire to follow Jesus for the rest of your life as his disciple. That's all there is to it. And yet it's everything. And Jesus is again saying, as he has for 2,000 years, this morning in this place, "I want you. Won't you come unto me and be part of my family?" In Matthew, Jesus says, "Truly, truly," and when he says "truly, truly," it means we ought to pick up our ears and listen. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life." If you make that transaction with God this morning, you will have eternal life someday. You will have it right now. You will walk out of this place an eternal being. So that the worst thing that can ever happen to you in the future is you'll go through the physical process of dying, but then that becomes a journey home to your heavenly Father. A minister friend of mine wrote this poem before his death. "This is not death, but triumph and reward, to walk by faith all through life's little day, and then at eventide to meet the Lord, and hand in hand with him to go away. This is not death, this is abounding life, life which is life indeed, the freeing of the soul beyond earth's time of toil and strife. This is not death, this is the immortal goal. But this is death, in selfishness and sin all through life's journey carelessly to roam. And listen to this, to find the door and never enter in, to see the truth and never take it home, unmindful of the Christ to draw each breath as though this world were final. This is death. This is death. On this Easter morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite you to reach out your hand of faith and take the gift of eternal life. And then, once you belong to Jesus, our Easter treasure becomes your Easter treasure, and you can be no longer a spectator, but a fellow confessor, saying, with Jesus, let not your heart be troubled. You believe now in God, believe also in me. Now in my Father's house are many mansions for you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I pray in Christ's name you'll grasp this good news. Well, this morning, we've done everything we can to proclaim the greatest truth in the world, that Jesus is alive, that death is swallowed up in victory, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow without fear. In a moment, the choir is going to sing it, but first, you're going to stand right now, if you would. And the response to Easter is hallelujah. Let's say it, hallelujah. And Ma will let the choir sing it for us.
Paul's invitation and to join us in the garden court if you want to do business with God and hook up with the power of the resurrection. And remember, he rode in on a donkey a week ago for you. He washed your feet on Monday, Thursday. He died on the cross on Good Friday, and he rose in the grave for you this morning. It's a great week worthy of your worship and your response. Let us pray. And now, may the Lord of the resurrection, who has sustained life through Jesus Christ conquering death, may he now penetrate our marrow, fill our hearts, free our spirits, and turn our minds to worship his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the faith of God consume us, empower us, and go before us, both now and forevermore. Amen.